The Holy Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus withdrew in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, "They need not go away. You give them something to eat." They replied, "We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, "Bring them here to me." Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and the disciples gave them to the crowds. And all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the gospel of the Lord.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be faithful to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Do you ever wonder what kinds of stories we would tell about Jesus if he had lived in our more technologically advanced age? Now, we're all impressed when we hear that somehow Jesus had the disciples feed a crowd of, you know, more than 5,000 people with just 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. But did you know that recently a man called Zach Danger Brown recently raised $55,492 to make some potato salad? Not a potato salad business or a restaurant that serves potato salad. Zach Danger Brown wanted to make a bowl of potato salad. He asked for $10 using the popular online crowdfunding platform Kickstarter. 6,911 backers later, his dream of a tasty lunch is in sight. Jesus' little show on the banks of the Sea of Galilee doesn't seem like much compared to a $55,000 bowl of potato salad. Anecdotes aside, though, one does wonder how Jesus might have used tools like Kickstarter to draw nearer to the unmet needs of the world. Now, for the last 3 Sundays, Jesus used evocative parables to explain the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a sower sowing seed everywhere, like a field of wheat and weeds waiting for the harvest, like a mustard seed, or like yeast in bread dough. Among other things, the kingdom of heaven seems like something small, but is loaded with the potential to meet the needs of the world, and it is already growing among us all. It's no coincidence that Jesus soon puts his parables into action, demonstrating how 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed an enormous crowd. But even that context isn't enough to understand what's really going on surrounding this miraculous feeding. Now, after Jesus tells those parables that we've heard for the last 3 weeks, he packs up his dirty laundry and he goes back home to Nazareth. He spends some time there, he tries to teach, but no one listens. They only see that son of Joseph, the handyman, or the son of that Looney Tune, Mary. And already discouraged at this, Jesus soon finds out that John the Baptist has been murdered at the hands of the king. In at least one account, John is Jesus' cousin. And it is at this point of hearing about John's death that Jesus withdraws to a deserted place by himself. He is grieving. And all of his public appearances and all of his attempts at teaching have worn him out. But the throngs of people who are listening, who are following, can't let him just be. They follow him all the way around the sea. And apparently, no one packed a granola bar. They are out in the countryside, and no one thought to pack a lunch. Except for, you know, that one person who brought 5 loaves and 2 fish, you know, probably the goody two-shoes of the bunch. Well, I have 5 loaves and 2 fish, maybe we can... But there are a ton of people here, and they are hungry. The need is clear. These people have got to eat. They're getting hangry, which is angry and hungry, by the way. That's a new term for it. That's your take home. Hangry. Now, if we tried to retell this story without looking at Scripture, if we just tried to retell the story of feeding the 5,000, we might come up with something like, Jesus turned the bread and fish into a lot more bread and fish, and everyone oohed and aahed, and it was a miracle, and tartar sauce rained down from the heavens. What Matthew actually says is this. The first thing that Jesus does when the disciples tell him that the people are hungry is to invite the disciples to draw nearer to the people and to address their need for food. Head on. They're hungry? Give them something to eat. Duh. The duh was added for emphasis. Jesus probably didn't say duh, though there might be an Aramaic version of that word, I'm not sure. But the disciples were like, well, we can't. We can't feed all these people. We don't have enough. So Jesus takes the food that they have, that goody two-shoes brought, he blesses it, he breaks it, and he gives it to the disciples and tells them to pass it around. That's it. No multiplication, no beam of light from the heavens, just blessing, breaking, and passing. Blessing, breaking, and passing. Now, I've heard some pretty wild explanations of how this miracle could have actually happened, the logistics of how this could happen without multiplication. I've heard someone suggest that everyone actually did bring a sandwich, but they were hiding them in their tunics because they didn't want to have to share. I've heard someone else say that once disciples passed around the food, the people only took like a tiny little bit of what they needed, and they ended up having a crumb for everyone. And everyone probably wasn't exactly 5,000 people, by the way. It's kind of like when we say a ton of people, we don't mean literally 2,240 pounds of people. And then I heard another one, which was just this morning, actually, a cartoon that says that Jesus provided bread for the people who were hungry and fish for the people who were on a no-carb diet. Now, I've heard all these explanations, all these attempts to figure out how could this have actually happened? How can we explain this? How did it happen? But I don't think the how is really the point of this story. In fact, I suspect that the how is completely irrelevant. The point of this feeding of the 5,000 plus people, of a ton of people, of 2,240 pounds of people, is the why. Why did Jesus instruct the disciples to feed the people rather than instruct them to send the people home? I mean, people can go for a while without eating. It's not as if everyone was dying of starvation. Why feed them? And why did Matthew bother to write down this story in the first place? And why do we still read it to this day? A friend of mine from seminary, Broderick, is spending part of his summer in Texas. He recently got a call from his friend Lisa, a friend of his who is the rector of another St. James in Austin. And she said a simple text to him, what do you think about going to the border? And he texted back as he's sitting in a parking lot in his car, just say the word and I'm there. And just a few weeks later, Broderick, along with 40 other volunteers from Austin and Houston, spent most of this last week in McAllen, Texas, to care for the children and families who have crossed into the United States and have, like, nothing that they can do right now. The impromptu mission trip was picked up by a number of news affiliates One of the attendees was quoted by a local news source saying, "I would shake my head, as many of us would, and say, 'What in the world can I do in order to help?' And then this opportunity became available, and it was like, that is the answer. This is what I can do to help. I can help." When the word got out about the trip, donations started pouring in, a miracle of biblical proportions. And it took no beam of light from the heavens, just some average people willing to draw closer to the needs of these undocumented immigrants who have nowhere else to go. Jesus taught his disciples that when they encounter an unmet need, the first thing to do is to simply hear the need, first of all. Hear the voices of those asking for help. And then use what you already have to address the need. This is the kingdom of heaven in action in front of us in this day. The kingdom of heaven is a lot like a border town in Texas, where immigrant families and children flee unsuitable lives for something better and are greeted not with total animosity, but with the simplest gestures of hospitality. The kingdom of heaven seems like something small, but is loaded with the potential to meet the needs of the world. And the kingdom of heaven is already growing among us and within us. The kingdom of heaven is also a lot like you and me, sharing in the bread and wine during communion, remembering the holy mystery that is at the root of our imperative and our privilege to serve one another in love. Jesus reminds us that we possess all we need to draw closer to the unmet needs of the world, to bless, to break, and to pass along. And on another level, Jesus is pointing us to God's saving action throughout all of creation, a timeless movement that reconciles everyone and everything to God. Draw near to the unmet needs of the world. In doing so, draw near to a fuller experience of the kingdom of heaven, a fuller experience of God, of the God of abundant life. Amen.